On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports on the Tall Can Audio Network. We have a guest with us that, quite frankly, you people have been asking for. We've had some questions about the Vegas Hockey franchise. We've had some specific requests of Mark Werner from the Vegas Hockey Podcast back on. How's it going tonight, Mark?
It's going good, Matt. Thanks to you and to your listeners for inviting me back on the show. I really appreciate it. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, we had... There was a ton of information the first time we had you on back just before the season started, and things have evolved a little bit since then down there and around the league, and so be interested in your take on a couple things. I'm going to blindside you a little bit on something you probably didn't think we were going to talk about, but it made the news today, and I would be interested in your take on it and what's happening down there. Gary Bettman and Bill Daly, of course, of the NHL and the NHLPA, met with Thomas Bach of the IOC and Rene Fassel of the IIHF to try and sort out what's going to happen with the Olympics here. I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah, the Americans, I'm sure, have a backup plan that would involve, you know, some guys playing in Europe, maybe some college guys, which I would imagine the Canadian guys are probably going to have some exceptional juniors and some of their European guys should this not come together. But in your mind and, you know, on your side of the border, what kind of impression do you have of this situation, and do you think it makes a difference to America's interest in the hockey tournament whether the NHL goes or not? I know I'm kind of blindsiding you, but it made the news today. I wanted to
No, it's all good. For sure. I think that it's a just basically a money grab and a smokescreen that the NHL is going to the Olympics. They want some funding, they want some money back out of the deal, because let's face it, the hockey tournament, I mean, figure skating does beat it in ratings, but the hockey tournament's right there.
Yeah.
And what was interesting to me, I was thinking about that when I heard that they were meeting about it, and I don't know the answer to it. Maybe you do. How much of the actual USOC fund do get funneled back into other countries' figure skating programs or curling programs or the biathlete programs from Norway, which are always outstanding?
Yeah.
If there's any kickbacks from the U, I don't want to call it a kickback, let's say augmented funding to those other programs in other countries around the world. And if it is something that happens on a normal basis, then I don't think the NHL is out of line asking for any of that money. But it may be more appropriate to ask the Canadian Olympic Committee and the USOC to help fund the cost of sending the stars over there and let the other nations' Olympic committees finance their teams, maybe pool a bunch of money together on the national levels, not the international level, and reimburse the NHL. Because let's face it, everybody benefits when right. hockey is in the Olympics. I mean, I myself am a hockey fan because of the 1980 Olympics.
Sure, yeah.
I was 12 years old. I'm an American. We were fighting Russia, and it's still emotional to me. When I watch Miracle, I still get emotional about it, and that's why I'm a hockey fan. So
yeah, you know what,
I
man? Think it would be it's weird up
yeah,
here. I've seen that movie 1,000 times, and it's weird that that's a well-written movie. I know it's all based on a true story and everything, but it's very rare that up here you find yourself kind of rooting for the Americans, and somehow that movie kind of pulled that out, right? So,
well, the thing about it is Herb Brooks was before he passed away, rest in peace, mm-hmm. he was one of the main assistants on the movie. So one of the things he really wanted to make sure of was that his, let's say, abrasive coaching style and right. the things that he did that created and bonded that team together, he wanted that message put out. So I think that's a universal theme that any hockey fan can. And besides, if you had your choice, I'm sure all the Canadians out there would be almost as happy for the U.S. to beat the Russians as if Canada beat the Russians.
There's something to that.
We can bond together on that,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, especially in that era, right, in that time. Yeah, there's something
100%.
To that. So on the Olympic thing, it's I know that Rene Fasel of the IIHF has said that between the hockey federations, they've come up with the money to deal with travel and insurance for all these. Like, when you see the salary cap hit on Team USA or Team Canada, you know, it's like a $70 million salary cap in the NHL, and, you know, Team USA is worth $135 million or something in contracts.
For sure, for sure.
So they say they've come up with the money to cover that, but, I mean, part of it for – it's a really interesting thing to me. The players want to go. The IIHF wants to go. The NHL doesn't seem to want to shut down their season, although, as you say, there appears to be a smokescreen there on how we can get a little more money out of this, but – the IOC shouldn't really care either. It's interesting to see them involved in these talks because they've already got their money, right? Like the broadcasters that are going to cover this thing and the sponsors and stuff are already locked in. So
yeah,
how this is going to go in terms of finances is already carved in stone, and the IOC really doesn't have a dog in the fight. Now, in terms of ratings, they could certainly drop, right? And how it looks in 2022... the NHL badly wants to go to Beijing and try and grow their market in China, but this is an interesting one, and it's interesting to get your take on it. They're just
it's interesting you mentioned China, because didn't they also just announce that Vancouver and Kings are going to go over to China and play some preseason games?
Yeah, and that's
very soon.
That's an interesting Vancouver and the Kings, I believe. Yeah, and then they also mentioned the Senators and. I can't remember who they were going to go to Sweden and play games over there. The thing is, it's part of the collective bargaining agreement that if you're going to go and play games off the North American continent, the Players Association has to sign off. And the Players Association is going to hold this against the NHL, right? You want us
sure,
to go play
why wouldn't you?
You want us to go play these games? We want to go play the Olympics. We can make a deal here, but you're going to budge too, right? So it's...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, they're coming down to, I think they said mid-March, they have to have made a decision, but it's getting a little close to the wire here, I think. But,
well, I'll tell you what, between you and me, if the NHL doesn't go, can we just put Team North America in as a combined Canadian-U.S. entry and watch that again?
I'm interested in that, man. See that under-23 team again? That'd
How
be
would
awesome.
That, look?
That would be great, man. Let's get into... some stuff that's a little more local for you and that was probably the reason our listeners wanted us to get a hold of you again. The process in Vegas is moving along. There's a few different questions I have for you. Let's start with coaching. I was listening. You guys talked coaching 2 or 3 weeks ago now, I guess, on your podcast, the Vegas Hockey Pod. You can search for that on iTunes or most podcast apps.
Yeah, everywhere else.
Right. And there was some names brought up. Kirk Muller was one that you guys didn't necessarily seem to think was a fit. Claude Julien, that name seems to have cooled off a little as Boston's rebounded a bit. But a couple of Ken Hitchcock this week was let go, and that's certainly a big fish and a guy who knows how to stabilize a young team. Jack Capuano has become available. What's your general feeling on what they're going to be looking for? And do you think Hitch specifically might be a fit there? He's an older coach, but he's got tons of experience. Whether or not he'd want to take this on is interesting. But, man, that's all of a sudden a big fish out there.
Well, I'll take Hitchcock first. I don't think Hitchcock will be the coach of the Knights for two reasons. Number one, he already said he was going to retire after this year anyway. And Mike O was brought in to be that replacement.
Right.
And a lot of people at the time questioned if Hitch was even going to make it through the season.
Yeah,
if there was a hiccup, if there was
there.
A bump in the road, the predecessor is standing right next to him behind the bench every night. And how much patience is ownership going to have is Hitch going to be, and in all fairness, I think he was, but is he going to have the energy and be as driven of a coach as knowing this is his last season? At the time, that was a very questionable move to announce that you were bringing in his predecessor.
Yeah.
So if you're eyeing retirement and it's already been announced, do you have that energy and wherewithal to then undertake the process that is building a franchise?
Right.
I don't think those two go hand in hand. I don't think the mindset is there.
It's a big name, though, right? It's a big name if you're trying to establish credibility.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure, but I think there's others out there, too. And number two, when we spoke with George McPhee, and he's reiterated it a bunch of times, he wants to build a fast attacking team, sort of in the vein of the Pittsburghs and obviously the Washington Capitals, where he was for 17 years. And that's not Coach Hitchcock's style.
No, you're right there.
He's a possession coach. He's a physical coach. He's, that's just who he is. And that's, and at, I don't know how old he is. But I don't think you go and change your coaching philosophy at this stage when you're eyeing retirement. So I don't think Hitchcock will be the guy.
What other names are you hearing? For those of our listeners that didn't catch your show, Gerard Gallant is a guy. Jack Capuano is a guy. I know you guys talked a little on your show about trying to have a more established coach that might, in years to come, lure players. But I kind of feel like in an expansion team, you're hiring a coach that you know is probably going to be fired before you get anywhere, right? Like, within 2 or 3 years, he's done the best he can, and maybe when it's time to turn the corner, then you hire the guy. Like, obviously, you've got boots on the ground there, but that's just kind of my take. Same with a rebuilding team, right? When you bring someone in, you kind of know this guy's not the guy. He's just the guy to get you to the guy. I don't know what you guys are looking at down there, but what other names are you hearing and how do you think that's going to play out?
Well, I've been trying to remember the coach of the Wolves has the Chicago
Craig,
Wolves.
Craig Berube, right?
Yep. Craig Berube. There you go. Thank you very much.
Yep.
That's a name that's getting a lot of run because we're trying to co-affiliate our AHL team in the first year with the Wolves and place players there. We're not going to start an AHL franchise right away. We're working on deals to affiliate with Chicago and a couple other cities. So naturally that brings Craig Berube's name to the forefront of a possible coach where we handshake deal. We get some players down there. We get Berube. Good
right.
deal all
right.
around. I'll tell you, the frequent weekly guest on our show, Dana Lane, he likes the Claude Julien angle. Again, a coach who he has changed his style in the last year or two to where they're a much more offensive team, and he seems to be able to move his style, not maybe as successfully as Coach Vigneault in New York has done, with adjusting to the player personnel that he has coming out of Vancouver into New York.
Right.
And drastically changing his style of coaching.
Yep. But
Julien has been able to do that. And if it is time for a new face in Boston, I don't think I would be against Julien coming in. I would, no offense, of course, but you mentioned that we are going to be a young team and maybe a younger coach would be able to get the attention of the kids a little better. Now, I do like Gallant. I'm on record. I don't like what happened in Florida.
No, that was terrible.
The guy has, and in my opinion, has proven that he can win get to the playoffs.
Yep.
For the first time in 20-some years with a young team.
Yep.
He has that line of communication to where the Ekblads and the Huberdeaux and so on. And he obviously has Luongo and Yager, older
sure.
guys.
Barkov.
To help in the locker room.
Bukestad, some good young players there. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think Gallant is very – and they do play that up-tempo style that McPhee likes. So I think Gallant will probably be on the short list. He absolutely deserves to be a coach in the National Hockey League after turning that Florida franchise around.
Right.
He has input on draft picks and the successful recruitment of the young players and bringing them along. And I just love what he did in Florida. And I think he would be a real good pick. I'll give you a couple of dark horses.
Sure, yeah.
John Stevens behind the bench in L.A.,
yep.
Two-time Stanley Cup champion with the Kings. Took the Flyers.
Spent some time with the Flyers, young, yeah.
Took that group to the Stanley Cup final with Richards and Carter as younger
yep.
players, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's a guy who's shown that he can work with young players and also building up the Kings young core as they're veterans now. But he was there under Coach Murray and helped bring along that Kopitar Doughty quick group of youngsters. Well,
even
and
still, right? Tanner Pearson and Tyler Toffoli and some of these young guys that keep rolling up there.
For sure.
Right? He's done a great job.
I think Steven should be on anybody's short list.
Yeah.
And he has been contacted to coach some other teams and has turned them down. But the opportunity that might present itself in Vegas might get him back up behind the bench as a head coach role. So those are two guys that I would keep my eye on.
Right.
You could always look at a guy like a Terry Murray who did guide those. Like you were saying earlier, you got a coach who you could bring in who's going to get your team to a certain point. And then you bring in the coach who's going to get you over the hump. Well, Terry Murray, I think, would have been a great coach for Edmonton to hire the minute the Kings let him go. He teaches, Kopitar could probably score 30, 40 goals if he was in a different system.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Yeah.
But he taught Kopitar how to play 200-foot of hockey, and he's a Selke Trophy winner.
Yep.
I think that goes directly back to Coach Murray. And I think it's a shame that he hasn't found a spot back in the NHL with teams that are trying to build up in that, when they're in that level of progression.
Right.
I think Coach Murray did a fantastic job with those Kings.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting name I hadn't heard, and that's certainly one that would make sense. To move forward just a little bit here, this will probably be old news to you, but for our listeners, we did get a couple of questions on Twitter about this. One of the last times we talked about Vegas on our show was, what is the state of the team's name? Because we heard that they went forward with the Golden Knights, and then there was some legal issues with involving a university. Has that all been resolved, and they will be the Golden Knights when the puck drops?
It is not legally resolved. What there was a small college in New York that has the Golden Knights as a mascot, and the job of the patent office is to protect the small guy. You know
yep.
what I mean? That's what they do. So when the flag came up or whatever, that Golden Knights already used, stamp it, reject, send it back.
Right.
And then the team has 6 months to prepare its defense of why we're not infringing on that copyright patent, they present their case back to him, and all indications are that the Vegas Golden Knights are going to be the Vegas Golden Knights. If not, we all got a bunch of collectible gear, right?
It's going to be a collector's
item. I could sell my hoodie, my hoodie and my hat on eBay pretty quick.
Okay, so at this point, it's kind of a wait and see, but everyone's confident.
It's still up in the air, but all indications are that that's not. I'll give you an idea how small the college is. Chris, my co-host on the Vegas Hockey Podcast, lives in Long Island and had never heard of the school.
Okay, so yeah.
So it's protect the small guy. Let's do our homework. Let's they got paperwork to fill out, and the appeals process will go forward, and the I'll be the Vegas Golden Knights, even
yeah.
if they have to pay a fee to the school, lease the name, whatever it takes, that's the name.
Right, okay. So that makes sense. And like you said, a school that small that no one's ever heard of, you'd think there's probably a pretty easy deal to be made there where push comes to shove. And
I'll tell you what, they've got more money and publicity because of this and and more recognition because of this than they should just be thanking Mr. Foley and moving on.
Okay. Let's move on. You're going to have to speculate here just like we've been doing, and that's half the fun. I know that the franchise down there has done two or three now mock drafts with their scouting staff and the GM. And I know they're planning to do at least one or two more, and that they're hoping to be, I guess there's one final whopping payment to be made to the league that might get them able to make some moves around the deadline in terms of draft picks and things like that. One of the really interesting things that we keep picking around is potential goaltenders that are going to be available. And you look at teams like Pittsburgh, who have both Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury, a team like Tampa with Bishop and Vasilevsky. I've seen some mock drafts get published online through some of the outlets or whatever. The goaltending thing is always interesting to me. You're certainly closer to this than we are. What do you think kind of a best-case scenario is? Because you know teams are going to start making moves to protect themselves and hide guys and this and that. Do you think that – I think drafting a whole team from scratch might be kind of tough, but it does seem like they should be able to start with some pretty good goaltending, doesn't it?
Let's go Bishop. We got to take three, so I'll take Bishop, Mrazek, and Murray. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, you know what? That's not a bad start to a team right there.
You know, the thing, and I've had my eye on Bishop for a while now. The thing with him is he's a UFA, and I'm waiting to see if Tampa decides that they're out of it and moves him.
Yeah.
Which would kind of shoot that in the foot. But if he doesn't re-sign with that team, one thing a lot of people don't know, Vegas also has a 48-hour window before the official selection has taken place after, like, the names are June 18th and the selection is June 22nd. In between those days, Vegas has exclusive rights to negotiate with any free agents.
Oh, really? Okay, no, I did not know that.
Absolutely. So if Bishop does get to UFA, we can negotiate with Bishop, sign him to whatever contract we want to sign him to, and then not take a player from Tampa.
Okay, that's interesting.
So it's very interesting, and that's why I still say I think Bishop, and you know, the mustard's off the hot dog a little bit with the goaltending in Tampa Bay this year.
Yeah.
Bishop went down to Vasilevsky, has not performed the way
he did not impress. And so you wonder if it wouldn't lead Tampa to try and lock him up, and if you find all of a sudden Vasilevsky's the one kind of out. And it's a small sample size, right, but he has not been impressive since Bishop went down. That just didn't work.
Right. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but they did extend Vasilevsky, right?
That's
right.
They
made their decision.
It looks that way, yeah.
So,
but you wonder if they're second-guessing it a little bit.
Well, you might. I mean, the backup goalie is an interesting phenomenon. We talked about this on my show either last week or the week before, and you never know. Bernier was go back to the Kings for an example. Bernier was the high draft pick, you know, great numbers behind Quick, and then went to Toronto and it did not work out. And
yeah, as a Leaf fan, we don't like to talk about him.
Understood.
Yeah,
understood.
No, you're right. Yeah.
But then same situation. Martin Jones, back up to goal to Quick. You know, good numbers. We move him to Boston, which thanks Boston for sending him back to the division. You know, appreciate that. But then what does he do? He takes the Sharks to the Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
So the backup go, and then look again at St. Louis when you have the franchise, obviously for years had been wanting Allen to grab the reins of the number one goalie. And I don't know if it was a lack of faith in Elliott or they had so much invested in Allen that this was where we are going, set in stone.
Disaster that's been.
But so that was that tandem was a tandem I was hoping was available because I was hoping they would take Brian Elliott.
Right.
As much as they wanted to hand those reins to Allen, mm-hmm. Elliott would never let the job go. And I like to see that competitiveness and no, my net,
right.
Not yours.
Right.
And then when they moved him, I was like, that one got away. Who's next?
I think you might be able to find that Brian Elliott's still available if you wanted him. It hasn't gone so well in Calgary.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But I think either Mrazek or Howard, whichever one. Howard's probably a little older than they want to do.
Right.
I know that They extended Optimus Rhyme in Florida, so that means Longo's going to be available. But I don't look for McPhee to start with a 39-year-old goalie with 5 years left on his deal, and
right,
you know, that kind of a situation. Although I think Longo's still playing good hockey
for sure.
I don't think that's who you start your franchise with. But you know, if you have a chance to get a Vezina Trophy finalist, who's, I mean, whatever Bishop is, 6'6",
yeah,
just a beast in the net, and you know. Played in the Stanley Cup final, played in some Eastern Conference finals. I think that's not a bad place to, you know, count your chickens before they're hatched and maybe go all in. If he does stay with Tampa and he does go to UFA, I think that's your main target.
Okay, and we're running short on time here. I know you don't have a ton of time, but before we let you go, I do want to touch a little bit further on the draft here, just kind of other names that you guys are kicking around for people who aren't completely familiar. You're only going to be allowed to protect so many forwards, so many defensemen, and you kind of have some choices to make there. But as you guys look forward to this, and I'm sure you've thought about it a little more yourself, what guys at this point do you think might be kind of sleepers that people might not be thinking about it unless you're kind of there in Vegas that might be available? And I've you know, heard on your show what kind of team they want to build, like you said, kind of fast and puck possession, these sorts of things. But what names do you think might be available that would really be a good fit to start a franchise here?
Whew, that's a tough one. If I can do a little plug for a guy who's been on my show, there's a really good mock draft simulator called planmyteam.com. And you can go on their website and go through everybody's roster and protect who you think they're going to protect, all the way through every team. And then that list of pool players is available, and then you can go through all those. Wow. and you know, kick your way through building yourself a Las Vegas franchise. And if you don't have that kind of time, the program generates the most often protected players of everybody else who has already done it.
Okay.
And presents you a pool of players that you can select from. And it's really fun to do, but until the trade deadline happens, I kind of ain't putting my hopes on anybody.
Right.
It's kind of hard. What I think they're going to do, and if you look at a guy like Ty Ratty, who just moved from St. Louis, you look at a Dumba, or, you know, what I think you're going to see in Vegas is you're going to be looking for, you know, high first round picks, second round picks, maybe in the 2011 to 2013 time frame, maybe 2014, but really I think a few years older,
right,
that have got maybe stuck in the system in the AHL, have come up and down. You know, maybe it's a style difference.
Just haven't quite, you know, broken through yet.
You always get, yeah. You always get that. I mean, if you're a centerman and you were trying to come up through Chicago,
yeah,
you were going to be in the NHL for a while,
right?
You know, if you're a winger and you're in Tampa Bay system, you're probably hoping to get traded.
A defenseman in Anaheim, right? They are just full.
Theodores,
so, and guys like that.
And speaking of Anaheim, there's going to be a good defenseman available out of Anaheim.
Absolutely,
and
there
I think,
is.
It's going to be tough for them. They're probably, I would think, they're going to protect four defensemen and four forwards.
Right.
And there's still going to be a good defenseman available, or they're going to have to let one of their younger wingers go. So it's kind of tough to just kind of put names to it right now, but I'm looking more at the style of player that they're going to be looking for is some of those guys that, you know, they're drafted in the first round for a reason. They have the skill, they have the body type.
Right.
For whatever reason, it just didn't work out with that franchise. And those are the types of players that are going to be protected. Mm-hmm. Or unprotected.
Yeah.
They're going to have been, you know, they're 2 years of professional hockey in the AHL. They've already played them. Maybe, and you don't want to bring those kind of players up and let them sit in the press box or try and cram them into the fourth line, third line center, yeah, and let them play a little, you know, they can develop better in the AHL.
Right.
Or send them back for their year in juniors or leave them in college for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
I think that is the type of player. I really don't know if I mean, look at the Kings. They're not going to probably protect Dustin Brown or Marion Gabrick.
Right.
But I don't think George McPhee is going to take those salaries on.
No.
I really don't think so. I think one thing he did learn in Washington, and he told us this on the show, was you can get away from a bad player, but you can't get away from a bad contract.
Yeah.
So I mean, I see this on the internet all the time. Oh, we'll just leave him unprotected. Vegas will take him.
Yeah, good luck.
Don't count on that.
No.
Mr. McPhee is he knows what he's doing. He's an experienced general manager. He's probably one of the best guys for the job that Mr. Foley could have picked. He has a chip on his shoulder or something to prove, and he's not going to bury himself in taking these players from other teams that
Dion Phaneuf out of Ottawa or something.
Contract.
Right. Like, yeah, those guys are good. They're staying put. Anchors are staying put.
No, and his philosophy is that you could build a team. You know, the NHL has set us up to have a competitive team early, but you build your team through the amateur draft.
Yeah,
and the way his draft picks played out in Washington, I think track record speaks for itself with the players that they have. So I look for him to focus more on those younger types of players. Speaking of younger type of players, I did want to get onto a little bit of your Toronto Maple Leafs younger players. How good do they look this season, huh?
Off to a hot start and a bit of a slide. They've won two of their last seven, but man, the rookies are, I think, performing. They're certainly outperforming my expectations. You start to bring in an Austin Matthews, a William Nylander, a Mitch Marner all at the same time. And the guy for me that gets overlooked the most is Nikita Zaitsev, who's a little older. He's 24, 25 years old, but has played all his career in the KHL. He's looked every bit the first pairing defenseman since he's gotten over here. So,
yeah, for sure. Very, very exciting to watch. Very exciting to watch. We were doing our season preview episode and I was just excited to see it. We had a Maple Leafs contributor on talking a little bit, and I really wanted to see those three kids come up and play. The way the NHL now is not the Detroit Red Wings model anymore, where you draft your player, you stick him in the NHL for 4 or 5 years, and maybe let him come up after that. Do you get a fully developed hockey player? Where now the NHL, with the talent, it's a global game now. There's so much talent available that, when you have a kid from Arizona come up, go number one overall in the draft and come in and do 4 goals opening night, I mean, how do you beat that?
Right, exactly.
how do you beat that?
Yeah.
And that was, that's what we were all hoping. And what was special to me about that night and really told me a lot about Austin Matthews was when they stuck the microphone in his face at the end of the game, said, "Man, you just had 4 goals in your first game. How's it feel?" He said, "I missed my assignment in overtime, and I'm the reason we lost the game."
Yeah, that was a team
guy. I took a wrong angle.
Yep.
Oh, man, I heard that, and as an 18-year-old kid, to come out and immediately know that he missed his assignment and that he cost the team the game, and that was the first thing on his mind,
yeah,
that impresses me.
Yeah, and that's how you've got the right kind of kid. He's got the right kind of attitude, right? It's
absolutely.
Yeah, those are the kids you want to build around.
Nobody could have blamed that kid if he would have came out and goes, "Man, that was the greatest night of my life."
Exactly.
What just happened? And had no control of himself, and no one could have blamed him. But for him to be fully engaged in team first mentality, that sets the tone, I think, for years to come, and I don't know if all that pain that Babcock was talking about is going to last 5 years. I that young core is going to be real good real soon.
They've snuck up on some people, and they've surprised even those of us following it up here with how quick it's. And they still might end up coming up short this year, but they're certainly further along in the development process than I think most people expected. So,
and I think with that kind of talent too, even in a Mike Babcock style coaching, you can take those moments like missing an assignment in overtime and not excuse them, but use them as the teaching tool.
Exactly.
And let these 18, 19-year-old kids come up and play the exciting brand of hockey that you're seeing all over the National Hockey League right now.
Yep.
And there's not so much of a hesitation to let those kids come out and play and use them as teaching tools rather than go to the press box for five games.
Well, and so many people jumped up and down when they made that Mike Babcock signing 8 years and the amount of money they gave him and said, you're not nearly ready to compete. And you go, yeah, no, you're not. But don't you want that guy here when you are, while you're bringing those kids along? That's why you give him that length of contract and that much money, is so that when you do get those guys, he's the guy steering the ship, right? And I think that gets underrated up here in terms of, you know, it's a year or two ago now, a year and a half ago now, and he's as much responsible for this as possible. Putting those systems in, you're going to be accountable. We're going to do this the right way. And he's the guy steering the ship. I think it was a great signing.
Absolutely.
So this has been, I want to give you a chance to throw down a couple of plugs here. Mark Werner of the Vegas Hockey Pod. Where can we find everything Vegas Hockey?
We cycle all our stuff through two main Twitter accounts, really. You can go to VegasHockeyPodcast.com, but I've been kind of derelict in my duties of updating it and writing stuff. So there's probably not a lot of current content on there. But if you go to @VegasHockeyPod on Twitter or @TheNLKing, which is my co-host Chris Lee's account, all of our stuff goes through there.
We'll make sure
Yeah, if you go to iTunes, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, and we do our shows now live on Blog Talk Radio every Saturday at 11:30. So tune in and give us a listen. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we'll make sure we've got those links posted on the show notes for Talk and Sports 111. Mark Werner, the Vegas Hockey Pod, thanks a lot for doing this, man. We really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Good to talk to you. Always a pleasure.
And we will try and get Mark on at least once more as the expansion draft approaches and things are a little clearer. So that's Tall Can Sports 111 on the Tall Can Audio Network. Thanks for checking out the show. My name's Matt Robinson, and we'll see you next time.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook @TallCanAudio.